You are listening to the audio podcast of Gethsemane Baptist Church, located in Long Beach, California, pastored by Eli Reynolds.
Proverbs chapter number 23, please. Proverbs chapter number 23. Proverbs 23, still trying to get my wind back from being down for a little while, and so doing normal things seems to be a chore, and I when I talk on the phone, which, by the way, I don't like talking on the phone, but I do, but when I talk on the phone, I walk around. I'm one of those people. I can't sit down and talk on the phone, and so I walk, and I pace back and forth, and this week I was on the phone with somebody, and I was talking with them, and they're like, Pastor, what are you doing? I'm like, I know, I'm out of breath. I'm just walking around my living room right now. You know, so I'm trying to get my breath back and being able to preach and sing a little bit without having to breathe deeply and all that kind of stuff. But just walking over to the church is a little bit of a chore right now. So I got to get better in shape. So the guys were asking me, Pastor, are you going to be good to go for basketball in July? I was like, I hope so. And, you know, so we'll see. Maybe I'll just be wheelchairing it, you know, down and just shooting and stuff, but no, I'm good to go, and thank you for all your prayers. Proverbs chapter 23, I want to look at one verse, and I want to give you tonight, messages are different forms of messages, and tonight, I want to give you something where the 90% of the message, right, till we get to the end, is preparing you for an exercise that I'd like you to start maybe doing, and I know the word exercise is a dirty word for some people, but it's an exercise that you can do that does not require a ton of effort. But I want to preach a message here out of Proverbs chapter 23 and verse number 12. And I want to give us some thoughts and build up to just something I'd like us to try this week, okay? So, and you can pick the avenue that you try it from, but we're going to try to apply the Bible. So I want to preach a message tonight out of Proverbs 23. Look, if you would, at verse number 12. The Bible says, apply thine heart unto instruction and thine ears to the words of knowledge. Apply thine heart unto instruction and thine ears to the words of knowledge. So we're dealing here with the book of Proverbs. We've been kind of doing an unofficial series. We're going to look at several verses about applying ourselves. And what I want to preach about tonight is just that topic there of applying your heart. Applying your heart. What does that mean? How do we do that? And so, apply thine heart unto instruction and thine ears to the words of life. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, tonight we ask for your help as we go through some scripture. But I pray, Lord, that there would be at the end of this a decision that is made. And maybe for everyone in here, maybe the decision will be different. But I pray that, God, after the message, we would have listened and learned something that we can apply to our lives today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We use the word apply a lot. We use it for, hey, you know, apply yourself, do something with yourself, you know, and or put something to it. We refer to it even like by painting. I'm going to apply another coat of paint. It's a word we use often, but what does it mean? We're going to look at four scriptures, and I'm going to give you some definitions here, and we're going to see what's being said about applying our hearts. Now, the word apply in scripture here is talking about focusing one's attention. It's talking about focusing your abilities onto something. If you're applying yourself, that means, okay, now I'm focusing my attention and my abilities onto this thing. I'm applying myself to this. And so let's look at some scriptures tonight and find out where we're told to apply ourselves. First of all, we see here, apply thine heart unto instruction. Well, what is instruction? The teaching principles of life. The teaching principles, the teaching of principles of life. It's a message describing how something is to be done. If I give you instruction on how to do something, you are learning how to get a certain thing done. And the Bible says, apply your heart unto learning how to get certain things done. Think of your parents growing up. They were often giving you instruction. I try very hard not to discipline my children over things I never taught them to do. How can I hold them responsible if I never taught them? But my job as a father is to give them instruction. So Titus was making his banana pudding. And for this fundraiser that we have there, and it's great, banana pudding. Our banana pudding is just, it's the best. It's award-winning. It's world famous. I'm just kidding. But it's really good. It's not my recipe. It's my sister's. But I remember a couple months ago, he did a report in school. And he said, Dad, teach me how to do banana pudding. And because I want to write it, you had to do a step-by-step report. And the bonus of that is that we get to eat the banana pudding. And so we like banana pudding without bananas. So I know it sounds weird, but it's just like the what you make and then the wafers that get soggy. Oh, anyway, so good. But you can keep those nasty bananas. But anyway, we were going through that, and I step-by-step walked him through that, and I was giving him instruction, okay? I haven't passed down any Bible to my son, but at least I taught him how to make banana pudding. So if I were to die, no, I'm just kidding. We've been teaching. But I was giving him instructions. So he did this all yesterday by himself. I mean, just a couple words. I had to say, oh, don't forget this or whatever, but he did the whole thing. So that is instruction. And the Bible says here, apply thine heart to learning that. When you're being taught to do something, oh, old dogs, you know, can't learn new tricks. Well, that's a shame for the old dog because we're supposed to be learning constantly, constantly. The great thing about being a child is their teachability and willingness to learn something. But notice, if you would, go back Proverbs chapter 22, the chapter right before this, verse 17. The Bible says, bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. So now it's not only instruction, but knowledge. Knowledge is the psychological result of perception and learning and reasoning. Okay, we know what knowledge is. It's what you know. I mean, we know that word. Understanding is the word there. A knowledge with a focus on moral qualities and its application. What's it saying here? It's saying applying yourself unto knowledge means take what you are learning and put it into your own life. Take what you have learned and don't just have the head knowledge, but take it and apply it to your life. Go back to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2, okay? And by the way, the confusing thing sometimes about Scripture is that the word apply is used in several passages, but it's a different Hebrew word. And so it has a slightly different meaning. Like we would say, know and understand. Well, they kind of mean the same thing, but there's a little bit of difference. And so when we're seeing the word apply, we're going to see in a minute that they are different words. But Proverbs chapter 2, look at verse 2. So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. So we've been told to apply our hearts to instruction. We've been told to apply our hearts unto knowledge. And we've been told to apply our hearts to understanding. So it's kind of all the same bubble. It's kind of all under the same umbrella, I should say. What is understanding? Understanding is more of insight. It's not just knowledge that came in, but you have insight into it. There's a wisdom with it. There's a capacity for discerning the right course of action. So in other words, you can see right and wrong and understand what to do. After I studied this a while ago, God, I put on my prayer list, God, I pray for wisdom and discernment every single day, but I also started praying for understanding. What is that? It's insight. God, I want to be able to understand what the right thing to do is. And to apply. So understanding, knowledge, and instruction, and one more, and then I'm going to give you a couple of thoughts tonight. Go to Psalm. Go backwards to Psalm 90. Psalm 90. Psalm 90. Thank you for staying with me and for turning in your Bibles. I'm going to give you a couple thoughts in just a minute and then a test for you. And not a test that you have to do here, but just an exercise that you can do in your own life. And it's not going to be lengthy, but Psalm 90, look if you would at verse number 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. So again, all under the same bubble here of dealing with of what the information you're taking in. It says apply your heart, we saw first of all, to instruction, and then to knowledge, and then to understanding. So, being taught things, knowing things, insight into things, and then wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge, or experience, or understanding, or common sense and insight. So what does wisdom do? Wisdom takes all the knowledge you've received, all the instruction that you've been taught, all the insight that you have been given, and says, now this is the practical way of how to use it. That's what wisdom does. That's why the Bible often over and over says, get wisdom, get understanding, with all that getting, you know, all of that, forget it not. And it's talking about getting that wisdom because why? Because I have seen a lot of people, and we would say this, we would say they have no common sense. What we really mean by that is they don't have the wisdom. Because they may be the, have you ever known smart, stupid people? I mean, they're so smart. They you know, they can do all these formulas and math. They can dissect and, you know, analyze any sentence. They know random facts from history. They know all this stuff, but when it comes to common sense, they just can't figure it out. You know, they just do the dumb things. Why is that? Because knowledge does not equal wisdom. And so God is saying here, and the scripture is saying, yeah, get instruction. Learn how to do new things. Get knowledge. Hey, read your books and learn and learn new facts and new information. And get understanding and learn how to have some insight to seeing, you know, even in the Bible, of seeing just past the top of the soil and digging in deep and getting some insight. But with all that, make sure that you get wisdom to actually take all that knowledge and say, oh, I can use that here in my life. One of the things about the church is that you need wisdom for church because I can preach the greatest message that's ever been preached in the history of mankind, but you can walk out of here and not do a thing with it and never be changed. Because why? Because you didn't have the wisdom to say, okay, how can I apply that to my life? Listen, wisdom is kind of like a muscle to be exercised. Now, you got to pray for wisdom. That's what James chapter 1 tells you. But wisdom is a gift from God, yes, but it's the gift of being able to say, I'm going to take what I learned in class, I'm going to take what I learned in church, I'm going to take what I learned in Sunday school, and I'm going to figure out how can I use that today? How can I use that tomorrow? So that's what we're dealing with today, is that type of application of wisdom. I want to just give you to this evening, very quickly here, four tests of application to see what are you applying yourself to do. How are you using what you know, okay? So there's four tests to this, and it's in the four verses I read. I won't have you go back to them. I'll reference them and mention them. But the first test to find out, hey, how are we applying our hearts? How are we applying our hearts? What are we doing? The first step is the step of attention. What gets our attention? Not step four, step one. What gets your attention? Okay? What gets your attention? So in Proverbs 23, where we were, it says there, apply thine heart unto instruction. The word apply there, again, is to fix the mind. But it means to engage and employ with attention. So it's a different Hebrew word, and the meaning there is to fix your mind, to give attention to. So what he's saying there is, give attention from your heart unto instruction, and thine ears to the words of knowledge. So can I ask you, what do you apply your heart to? Well, you apply your heart to what you give attention to. What are you giving attention to? What do you fix your mind to? What gets the majority of your attention? For young people, our teenagers and young adults, what gets your attention? I mean, video games, and I'm not against all these things. I'm just saying, where are you applying yourself? What gets your attention? Video games. You know, the average person spends 11 hours in front of a screen every day. 11 hours. And so video games may get your attention, and maybe in moderation is not a bad thing. Social media, boy, does that grab your attention? Does that just leave you with a sense of peace after you get done scrolling for an hour? You know, social media, Netflix, Hulu, HBO Max, something involving a screen. It could be your friends. If you're young, it could be a boy or a girl that gets your attention, and all they get is your attention. That's your attention is fixated on that person or whatever it may be. And you can see where your heart is being applied. You're putting yourself out there for those things because they're getting your attention. For adults, it could be the same thing. It could be our phones. It could be a screen. It could be the social media. It could be gossip at work that we're applying our attention to. Life is boring at work. And then, oh, did you hear about so-and-so? Tell me everything. You know, we have these, and now we're applying ourselves. And that's what's getting our attention, okay? So just taking stock of that. What gets your attention? You know, if you wanted to do an exercise, and I don't recommend you do it right now because we all may be a little ashamed of ourselves, but if you'd have an iPhone and you take out your iPhone and That's a picture of my wife on the front of my iPhone. And you scroll, I think it is, to the left, you can see where you have spent your time on your phone. 4 hours YouTube, you know, 62 hours a day on Instagram, you know, or whatever it is. I'm not judging you at all. Sometimes you can look at that, though, and be like, I think I could be a better human being than this. I think I could stop, you know, being on, you know, OfferUp for 6 hours a day, or Craigslist, or whatever it is, you know. And some of those things we're just not aware of. But if you look at that, you'll see some, if you read your Bible on your phone, too, you'll see 2 hours YouTube, 10 minutes Bible, and you're like, you know, and it doesn't, and it won't feel good. And what I'm saying is that tells us, literally, our phone is telling us, here's where you're spending your attention. Here's where you're applying yourself. Here's where you're applying yourself. And they're not all bad things, but we need to realize that what gets our attention gets our hearts. What gets our attention gets our hearts. That's just how it works. The more time you spend on something, the more connected you are to it. You ever, when you were a kid, have one of those like little sticky hands? Like it has a string to it and it's stretchy and it's like this little hand and you throw it and it just sticks on stuff. And they had sticky balls and things like that too. And they were kind of nasty, right? Because after you use it like once or twice, it just got sticky and there's fuzz and everything on it. I stopped by the nursery earlier before church to look at all the kids there and visit with my wife. She's in nursery tonight. And she's like, look what I just stepped on. And she pulled her foot up, and it was a lollipop. I think it was Kelly's, and she did it on purpose because that's how she is. But anyway, no, I'm kidding. But, you know, those little sticky hands, you throw it out there, and it attaches itself. And, you know, our heart is so similar. Whatever we expose our heart to, our heart attaches to it. That's why it is important that we be very careful what we expose our children to and what we expose ourselves to, because we don't control that process. Oh, kids need to experience the world. Really? Do they need to go sleep on Skid Row? Do they need to shoot something up so they can? That's ridiculous. No, we can apply our hearts to knowledge without that. And so we need to protect our hearts. People fall in love with people just because someone shows them attention. And it's like, why do you like them? Well, because they like me. Well, that's not a great reason. You know, and all these type of things we're seeing. So what gets your attention? What are you putting your mind to? Where does schoolwork fit in? Where does a family fit in? Where does your walk with God fit in? How much attention are you giving to God? How much attention are you giving in church? This morning, I preached from Philippians chapter 4, a very straightforward message on peace. Did you apply that? Were you paying attention to say, man, I need that in my life, and if I don't need it now, I need it tomorrow? And were you taking that and giving some attention to it? How about your Bible? How about prayer? How much attention are you giving? Because your heart is being affected by that. So that tells us one thing, is what gets your attention. That tells us where we're applying our heart. But secondly, not only what gets our attention, but where are we applying our action? Where are we applying our action? Now, in Proverbs chapter number 2, where we were just a few minutes ago, I'll read the verse again. You don't need to go there. It says, so thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. The word apply there means to gain with effort. It means to attain. So you're leaning in with effort. So there is action involved. So if you're looking at where is my heart being applied, where am I spending my time? What is getting my attention? But also, where are my actions going? Where am I applying my actions? What am I doing? And we can tell very clearly what we are applying ourselves to do, what we're working to attain, what we're putting in the work for. I, you know, on guitar, sometimes I'll be learning a new song. And on the guitar, I'll find something new, and it's a little bit trickier, difficult, and so it gets my attention. And I sit in there, and I play it over and over and over again. And I learned a long time ago, I have acoustic guitars and electric guitars because I like to rock out. I like the electric guitars because you can barely hear them. And they're very faint. And so I'll go grab one of those when I'm practicing a certain progression over and over and over again so I don't drive my family nuts. Because for a short amount of time, I get a little obsessed. If I have a new song I want to learn or new something there, a new exercise, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to keep working at this and keep working at this and keep working at that. But I put in the work. But even doing that, it's not a bad thing. But if I spent 20 hours a day on it, it'd become a bad thing. Because why? Because now I'm letting other things go that I need to act on. And so where you're putting your action shows what you're applying yourself to do. There have been a time recently where I was probably putting in a little bit too much work, and my wife was a little concerned for me, but she also doesn't want she was concerned for me, but she also doesn't want family to suffer because of ministry. And I'm the same way. Family is underneath ministry. God first, walk with Jesus first, Bible, prayer, family, and then ministry. And that's how it should be for everybody, by the way. Everybody here, you need to have that as how it works, okay? Your family is above your service for God. He's given you that family. But that's the thing. What gets your action is what's truly important to you. So I want to just ask tonight, is your walk with God being crowded out by something, by some other action, by the nightly news, by the TV show that you got into, and now you're binge-watching it, and now your walk with God is failing? Well, you are setting your heart, you're applying your heart to something that may not be a bad thing, but it is drawing you away from where you ought to be. It's drawing your application of heart away and your actions to something that is crowding out things that should be important. And that can work for work, it can go for schoolwork, it could go for many things. For teenagers, it could be finishing a level on a game or joining a team or sports or something else. Where you are working shows me where you're applying your heart to. Where you are working shows you where you are applying your heart. Look, it takes work to walk with God. It does. It takes work to schedule soul winning. It takes work to come to church sometimes. It does. We have to admit it. But we're showing with our actions what's important to our heart. And so thank God that you're here for that, right? Where are you applying? Where are you putting in the work? Where are you applying your talents? Are you using your gifts for God? Are you using them in the ministry? So we're seeing here where we're applying our heart with our attention, with our actions, but thirdly, with our attitude. With our attitude shows us where we're applying our heart. In Proverbs 22:17, where we were, and a moment ago, and again, you don't need to turn there, I'll just flip back. Proverbs 22:17 says, bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. Again, a different word there. It means to set, to fix conclusively, to have a feeling of devotion. That's an attitude with a corresponding action. In Proverbs 2:2, it talks about the same word, but to incline, to make receptive or willing towards an action or attitude. To make receptive or willing. Again, choosing to have the right attitude. Choosing to have the right attitude. So what does that mean about applying your heart? It means that you have to decide to care about some things. You have to decide to care about some things if you're going to apply your heart. Okay, there are things that you need to care about. There are things that, yes, you need to care about. You need to care about people dying and going to hell. And you say, well, I don't. Then you need to apply your heart. You need to care about certain things that God wants you to care about. And not to worry, I'm not saying to worry, but it needs to be important to you. You need to have an attitude that says, I care about that. We always wait for things to interest us, but we never make ourselves interested in something. We are very passive when it comes to that. But in Scripture, there are certain things that we're supposed to stir up ourselves about. It says stir up the gift of God that is in thee. And stirring yourself to be excited about some things or to just care about some things. Hey, we mentioned earlier about the bus, and I'm not going to guilt you into giving anything for our bus ministry because I would never, I don't believe in guilting. It's grace giving. It's something you do if God speaks to you. But I'm saying, but there should be, even if you don't give, you should care. You should care. If you say, okay, I can't give for the bus ministry, but I'm praying that God brings it in, because we need buses to pick up people, and we need buses to take kids to youth conference, and we need buses to get people to Arizona maybe for junior camp, and we should care. There should be concern over these things enough to take it to prayer. Why do we think that everyone else gets to choose our attitude for us? Recently, with one of my kids, I was having a conversation, and I said, how would you feel? And it was a friendly conversation. I was saying to one of our kids, how would you feel if I had a controller, like a remote control, where I could control what you did? Where if I pressed a button, you cried. If I pressed a button, you were happy. If I pressed a button, your arm went up like this and came back and smacked you in the face. You know, how every parent's like, give me that now, Pastor. Give me now. But, it wouldn't be fun. And I said, well, here's the thing. When you get mad, because of what somebody did, or you get sad because of what somebody said, you're letting them control you. You're giving them control of you and of your spirit, and we shouldn't do that. It's no fun being controlled by other people. So we have to choose the right attitude. I remember, and I don't mean to give illustrations a lot about my guitar playing, but I remember a turning point in my guitar playing years ago was when I stopped believing the negativity in my own brain that I'll never be able to learn that. That's too hard. I'll never be able to do that. And when I realized, you know what? I absolutely could learn how to play it if I wanted to. I absolutely could if I wanted to work hard enough. Now, what changed? Did all of a sudden I get like, you know, an angel came down and blessed me and now my fingers, you know, are twice the size and twice as fast? And no. What happened was my attitude changed. And so when my attitude changed, I was able to apply myself a little bit better. So we're seeing here tonight that, and this is all going, and we're almost there to the end here, but where our action is, where our attitude is, all of this is showing us, and our attention is showing us what matters to us. Where are we putting in the effort? Now, I want to encourage you. You know, you may be here and thinking, I'll never understand math. Trigonometry, whatever, you know, or I'll never pass this class. I just can't, you know, figure out English, or even it could be spiritual things. I'll never be good at soul winning. I'll never be able to teach a class, teach a lesson to a class, and I couldn't do that in front of people. I couldn't use my talents. Well, not with that attitude you can't. That's what my dad used to say. It's fun to say that. Well, not with that attitude you can't, but it's true. It's true. Your attitude is limiting you from applying yourself as God wants you to. I could never do this. Well, not with that attitude. There was a preacher years ago who used to have his people repeat, I can makes a great man. And you can say I can makes a great woman too, okay? But I can makes a great man. It just rhymed. I can. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And I think that's important. We need to be receptive to learning, receptive to being teachable, and have the right attitude to apply ourselves. So lastly, we've seen the tests of application. How do we know what matters? How do we know where our heart's being applied, and if we're using the wisdom God wants us to have, what's getting our attention? What's getting our action? What are we doing throughout the day? What is our attitude like? And then lastly, where do we place our affection? Where do you place your affection? Over and over, the Bible says to apply your heart. Apply your heart to wisdom. Apply your heart to knowledge. Apply your heart to understanding. Apply your heart to instruction. Apply your heart over and over again. So the question is, what do we love? What do we love? What do you love to do? What do you love to learn? Sometimes I'll be reading ministry books. I try to read 2 books a month outside of my Bible. I try to finish 2 good books a month, and I try to I'm ahead of schedule this year, and I'm trying to get good books. But can I tell you, I'll read some ministry books sometimes, and I'm like, ugh. You know, it's just, as those of you who may read some books like that, you know, they can just be, not self-help type books, but they can just be monotonous, and sometimes I got to take a break and say, I'm going to read this because I like it. You know, I'm going to read this because I enjoy it, because I want to learn something that I want to learn. I want to enjoy reading, and I want to enjoy learning. I want to love it. How do you know what you love? Well, look at what gets your attention. Look at what gets your time. Look where you're putting the work in. Some people say, well, I love my wife, but they put no work into their marriage. I love my husband, but no. Then how can we really show that you really do value your spouse if you're not willing to put any work in? Not willing to labor at all. What's your attitude about it? What is getting your attention? All of these are showing us what we love. How much work are you putting in your walk with God? How much work? What is your attitude regarding the Bible and prayer and church? Do you have proof that you love God? Because God said, if you love me, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. And so there should be some proof that we love God because we're applying ourselves to doing the things that God wants us to do. And look, we may not always want to do it, but that's the great thing, is that you can choose your attitude and you can choose to change. We say we love God, but there should be some proof in the pudding. Okay, so tonight as we wrap up here, stay with me. We got 5 minutes probably and I'm done. So the test of application here of how we can tell what matters to us, where we're applying ourselves, is this. What gets your attention? What gets your attention all day long, all week long? What gets your action? What are you doing? What's your attitude like about it? And then, what do you love to do? What are you loving? What are you enjoying? So let's just think right now. Okay, here's the exercise. You can do it now. You can do it later, all right? But I want you to think about something in your life where you need to apply yourself more. We all have some area. An area where you need to apply yourself. You need to apply your heart, okay? Think of an area, all right? This is the exercise, so I'm forcing you to think. And maybe it's Bible. Maybe it's exercise. Maybe it's a prayer life. Maybe it's soul winning. Maybe it's a project at work. Maybe it's a planned family time. Maybe it's a date night. Maybe it's communication with your spouse. Maybe it's time with your kids. But there's got to be an area in everyone's life where we really should be applying ourselves more. Could just be our daily walk with God, okay? So if you've got that area in your life, where do you need to, how do you need to apply yourself? Okay, it needs to get attention this week. So whatever that area is, it needs to get your attention this week. You have to be thinking about it, okay? But there also needs to be action. What is going to be your plan of attack? Okay, so let's say, you know, you're deciding tonight, I'm going to apply myself this week to the Bible and to getting more into God's Word, okay? So that's going to mean that you're going to have to give it some attention. You're going to have to give it some time. But you're also going to have to put some action in. So now this week, you're going to have to carve out time by giving it attention and giving it action to figure out, okay, when am I going to spend more time in my Bible? And how am I going to do it? So you're giving it attention, you're giving it action, but you're also going to have to choose an attitude to go with it. I hate this. This is miserable. And that can't be your attitude. It has to be, this is the right thing. This pleases God, so I'm going to press on. And then lastly, you got to put your heart into it. You got to put your heart into it. And again, this applies with anything. If it's exercise, and you know, once and for all, you're deciding, I want to get, you know, on the right track here. I want to do better, and I want to work out 3 times this week or whatever. Okay? Then now it's going to be getting your attention. It's going to be getting some action because you're going to have to plan it. You're going to have to clear out your schedule. It's not going to happen by accident. You're going to have to choose your attitude because I tell you what, it is so easy to plan to get up early the night before. It is so easy to plan to work out when you're laying in bed. You know, you're like, oh, it's so comfortable in bed. I'm going to work out today. I'm feeling really good. And then the time rolls around and you're like, I feel miserable. Yeah. And so you're going to have to choose to have the attitude. But then I want to encourage you to put your heart into it too. So the whatever it may be that you're wanting to do and get better at, this week, this is just a simple exercise. Apply thine heart. Apply thine heart. Say, how do you do that? Okay, what are you going to give attention to? And maybe, again, it's your spouse or your kids or work or something. Something good. Okay, you got to give it some attention. You got to make some plans. And you got to act. You got to do something. It's not going to just happen to you. But then you also better choose your attitude because as soon as it gets there, you're not going to want to do it. So you better choose in advance. No, I'm going to have the attitude of I can do this. I can do this. And then I'm going to put my heart into it when it's time to come. So that's, I think if we would just take that tonight and apply that to an area of our life, you could see great victory over the next 7 days. And that is something very practical, and that is something that every one of those words apply means those things that we just looked at. So take that, and this week, apply your heart to something that really matters to you. And apply your heart to something that really matters to God. And so there's a simple message tonight. It's more of a practical, you know, teaching lesson. But I hope that we'll take the instruction. And here's wisdom. Wisdom is not, that was a great message, now I'm going to leave. That's not wisdom. You got knowledge and instruction, maybe. But I'll tell you tonight, what wisdom will do is wisdom will go home tonight and say, okay, I'm going to think about this, and now I'm going to give my attention to it. And in 7 days' time, you could come back a different person, one who has had victory throughout the week because you had the wisdom to apply what you heard tonight. And so just a thought for you to use this exercise in your life. Father, I pray that you bless our people tonight. God, I pray that, Lord, when we see practical things like this in Scripture,